The Health Chat with Opal Health Supplies is a conversational style podcast bringing you the stories behind dynamic, innovative and trending brands in the natural health space. Join our hosts, Andrew Whitfield Cook, Rick Hay and me, Vicky Solaritis, for an informative conversation with guests that are passionate about natural health and create products making a difference to the lives of many. The Health Chat, bringing you the story behind your favourite brands.
Hello and welcome to the Health Chat, where Rick and I are delving into part three of our longevity series. And this is something we're incredibly passionate about because we've been so intrigued by the whole concept of aging. And why is it some people age better than others? How can someone look 10 years younger than their biological age? Meanwhile, others look so haggard. And how can someone with advanced age like exercise as hard as a younger person? And I guess we all know that stress contributes to aging. That part's not new. But on this podcast, Rick and I are going to look into the latest scientific research into specific ingredients and supplements that offer a strategy for activating and promoting healthy aging. So last podcast, we explored and explained the concept of cellular senescence and how as we age, the quality of our genome and cell duplication declines, which over time accumulates and leads to aging. We looked at oxidative stress. And if you recall, we spoke about telomere health. And if you need a recap, by all means, take a listen to the previous podcast. But in this particular podcast, we're focusing on mitochondrial decline. Now, mitochondria are the powerhouse of our cells. They generate energy known as ATP. And as we age, these vital organelles become less efficient and they produce less energy. And in fact, more harmful byproducts are created. And this decline affects the overall functioning of our body. And that's what we're going to focus on. It's the mitochondrial decline, because I really believe this is a crucial area that we need to explore. Now, as we age and we approach like midlife, and I'm talking about the 40s, studies have shown that we lose about 40% of our mitochondrial function. So that means we're losing out on making 40% of ATP effectively. And really, ATP is what sustains life. We need it to carry out these simple biochemical functions in our body to survive. I'm talking really primal stuff like heartbeat, carrying nutrients across the cell wall, digesting food, neurotransmitter impulses. And that's just on top of everything else that we do, like to wake up or to make breakfast or to stay awake, to read, to work. I mean, when you add all this up and every little element that takes place in our body, you start to realize, oh, okay, we do need quite a lot of calories. We need about 2000 calories to sustain life. And I'm talking 2000 rich calories, not empty calories. Now, I don't know about you, but when I studied anatomy and physiology and when I studied biochem at uni, we learned the structure of a cell wall, right, or of a cell, actually. And if you studied it, you probably remember that there was a cell wall, bilipid layer, there was cytoplasm, there was endoplasmic reticulum, the nucleus, organelles, and the mitochondria. Now, you can probably still visualize that structure in your mind, but the one thing that we weren't taught was how many mitochondria are in the cells. And I just thought it was one. And then as I grew up and I read more and more, I realized, oh, hang on, some cells have actually like 2000 mitochondria. So skeletal muscle, liver and kidneys, they have about 2000 mitochondria in each cell. And that's because that particular tissue requires a lot of ATP to carry out their normal function, not just one, like we're led to believe in those textbooks. So if we lose the function of, let's say, 40% of the mitochondria in each cell, it's no wonder we feel exhausted. It's no wonder we feel tired and we can't do things and we can't exercise like we used to. But thankfully, this is an area we have control over. We don't need a prescription. We don't need to go to a doctor and get a script for medication. It's something we can do today. And Rick, I would like for you to tell us how we can get our zing back in our step.
Yeah, well, you know, the good news about this is as we focus more on cellular health, as you say, there's lots of things we can do, both supplement-wise, lots of good research out there, and things we can do that we've spoken about in other podcasts in our daily lives. So you spoke about nutrient density, and I think that's key. If your diet isn't whole food-based, predominantly, if you're not eating the rainbow, et cetera, lots of fiber, then you're missing out on the fundamentals of just getting those ingredients that the body needs and the mitochondria needs in order to function optimally. But there are other things that you can do outside of supplements. I'm going to come to supplements in a second. We talk a lot also about regular exercise, high intensity interval training in particular. What they'll do is they'll stimulate mitochondrial biogenesis. And we want that, and the increased energy demand leads to the creation of new mitochondria to meet the demand. So you know how you feel better after your exercise, well, maybe that's one of the reasons. The other thing you can do, and this one, I have to be honest, put my hand up, I'm not a fan of this, but then I'm a bit of a wimp when it comes to cold water. But I know cold water therapy, it's so good, and, you know, with saunas and steams, etc. But cold water exposure, as we know, activates a brown adipose tissue. And again, that burns calories to generate heat. What we end up with is weight management and therefore an overall healthier body, therefore healthier aging. But that tissue contains a type of fat that has a high density of mitochondria, and that can be stimulated through cold exposure and, again, leading to mitochondrial biogenesis. So we then move on from there, and this is all in the news and all in the studies, is calorie restriction and intermittent fasting. Really, one of the most researched areas into weight management and now into aging, into healthy cell aging, is calorie restriction and intermittent fasting. And as we say many times, we've also spoken about that on previous podcasts. What you're looking at there is not only, again, mitochondrial biogenesis, but activation of AMPK and sirtuin activity. I'm going to talk a little bit about that later, so don't worry too much if it's not something you're familiar with right now. The other thing is some adequate sleep. Not going to go on about that, but if you can get the number of hours that you know you need to feel well, for some of us that might be 6, it might be 7, it might be 8, the body will repair and regenerate. And that's what we want it to do in order to get more mitochondria and autophagy. Vicky was going to wait until I said the word autophagy because I'm a bit obsessed with it. I kept it out of my out of the podcast until now, but it slipped in, as it always does. Other thing that you'll be familiar with is stress management. If you are overly stressed, this can adversely affect mitochondrial activity, not to mention the stress hormones. So even if it's just something like, again, we've spoken about many times, magnesium baths, deep breathing, simple meditation, anything that can just bring everything down in this fast, crazy, mad world that we find ourselves in, or that I find myself in half the time, you know, we are not meant to run on adrenaline solely. And if you are, then the bad news is your mitochondrial health is probably not where you want it to be. And then on, I think, the podcast before last, we spoke about eliminating toxins. Now, this is both toxins in the house and toxins on your food and toxins on the skincare you have, the shampoos, the soaps you use. Really important, because you embark on a cleansing program or a detoxing program and then you continue to put crap on or into your body, you're not going to get the best results. So you can certainly take all these supplements we're going to tell you about soon and be better and get partway to the finish line. But if you incorporate some of these things that I've just spoken about, you're going to get to that finish line faster and probably get there with a whole lot less tiredness, malaise, confusion, and fatigue that this whole area of cellular health and cellular cleansing that we've looked at in these last three podcasts has shown. We've got a section coming up, and this is to keep you listening because you might be bored with the drone of my voice, but keep you listening to the end. There are mitochondrial supplements like coenzyme Q10 and alpha-lipoic acid that can support mitochondrial function, and there's more than that, and there's more that are really well-researched, and I'm just teasing you a little bit now so you stay with us.
So earlier you mentioned AMPK and the sirtuin pathways, and I think we need to talk about this because that's where this podcast is sort of heading, all right? There are actually three key pathways that have emerged as the guardians of youth that hold the secrets to defying the sands of time. So there's the sirtuin pathway, the MTOR pathway, and the AMPK pathway. So there are three, right? I'm going to talk about the sirtuin pathway first. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to upregulate, we're trying to reactivate or increase the activity of this particular pathway. So what are sirtuins? They are our cellular heroes. They're proteins that are numbered from number 1 to 7, and they're located in the nucleus and the cytoplasm and the mitochondria. They repair damaged DNA, they regulate gene expression, and they maintain metabolism and telomere maintenance. So what activates the search hormone pathway is calorie restriction, intermittent fasting, and physical exercise. So with calorie restriction, we're looking at sort of reducing the calories. It doesn't have to be so severe that you go into a malnutrition state, or even if you do intermittent fasting and you reduce the amount of calories on certain days, or you can fast for a period of time, let's say 16 to 18 hours a day, and then exercising. And we spoke about this, and I think it was like two podcasts ago, where we were talking about exercising in zone two for about 30 to 40 minutes a day, and include some weight bearing activity in there too. As far as supplements go, sirtuins are NAD dependent enzymes. So that means that NAD is essential for sirtuin activation. So that means the more NAD, the more active this pathway. Now, unfortunately, NAD is quite a large molecule. So yes, you can buy it. You can go into a health food store and buy some NAD, but the molecule is quite large. So it's probably better to consume their precursors, which are 1 to 2 phosphate groups smaller and, of course, easier to cross that cell membrane. And in fact, the progression is nicotinamide riboside to NMN to NAD. So what happens is NR enters the cell, and with specific transporters, it's converted to NMN, and then NMN is converted to NAD. NR and NMN are available in the market. You can get them from your health food store, but my only caveat is be aware of what you're purchasing, because there is a little bit of a concern in this space. So just know what you're purchasing is of high quality. And the second most potent thing that you can do to activate your sirtuin pathways is to consume resveratrol, which everyone knows is my favorite polyphenol, and it's been studied for its potential to activate sirtuins. And in fact, it can mimic some of the effects of calorie restriction, which leads to increased sirtuin activity. There's so much research on this topic. And in fact, I found a really good piece of research that was done in 2006, and it was a study on mice. And what they did was they demonstrated that resveratrol supplementation extended the lifespan of mice fed a really high calorie diet, and it activated the sirtuins and improved mitochondrial function, similar to the effects of the group that were taking or consuming a calorie restricted diet. So the effects were the same. Their sirtuin activities were the same. So this sort of indicates that resveratrol has the potential to mimic fasting or calorie restriction. And what we found, or what I found in this piece of research, was that even over an extended period of time, if you take resveratrol for months, but you don't change anything else in your life, so you just continue eating what you've always eaten, what they found is a slight decline in weight, which blew my mind. And then after this whole study had concluded, they then went on to investigate the liver of these animals. So there was a group that were fed high calorie meals, a group that was fasting, and a group that was high calorie meals with resveratrol. And they looked at the liver of these three groups, and they found that the liver size and mitochondrial function of the mouse that were fed resveratrol with a high calorie diet was almost identical to the ones that were fasting or had a low calorie diet. So if that's not enough reason to take resveratrol, I don't know what is, but I've been taking it for a long time.
It really is the key to it at the moment, isn't it? If you're going to be on a aging well campaign on something for mitochondrial health, that's certainly where you want to go. And you know, to help with telomere health, it's certainly your first stop. What we also then, you know, want to look at is the MTOR pathway and dysregulation of that with age related diseases. Now, what we want to do with that pathway is down regulate it. And if you go and you do a search engine search of MTOR, you'll find that there's one drug out there on the market, or pharmaceutical, metformin, and this downregulates the MTOR pathway significantly. However, in our natural arsenal, we have a lot of the usual suspects that are doing good things. And the other benefit about this, as Vicky touched on, a couple of these cross over into weight management, which is an interesting thing. So bringing those kilos or pounds down to a more healthier level, of course, is one of the better things we can do for aging well. So start off with berberine, and that's in golden seal and barberry, for example. It's a down regulator. One of my all-time favorites is quercetin. It rose to prevalence during the time of immune dysfunction, shall we call it? And it is really resveratrol's sort of twin brother or sister in this area. And it's found in certain fruit and veg. It's also an MTOR inhibitor. We've got curcumin or turmeric. That is another one to look at. Green tea extract, the EGCG is the polyphenol that inhibits the MTOR signaling, which is what we want. Then we've got the omega-3 fatty acids. I'm going to go, of course, first to the algal oil, where I always go, but there's also fatty fish and plant sources. And that the anti-inflammatory action of the omega-3s is well known, but the down-regulation of the MTOR signaling is something that you may find is new. And now, I know I think quercetin was my favourite, but in fact, I think I have even a new favourite, which is quercetin or fasitin. We were debating on how to pronounce this one when we found it a while ago, but it's a flavonoid found in strawberries, apples with the skin on, cucumbers and onions. And what that is one of your key players in the whole preventing senescence, promoting autophagy. So really, if I was going to look at it all at the moment, my probably top three are resveratrol, quercetin, and fasitin to start with, and then you can add the others in.
There is so much research around quercetin, and in particular with respiratory health. Ever since like COVID, a lot of research has gone into this space, and same with Japanese knotweed. I hate to say it, it's going to bore everyone, but there's a lot of research in lung health post-COVID with these two supplements. Also, I think it's important to mention that quercetin is not new, but I think it's very much emerging in this space. So I think we're going to see a lot more products with that particular ingredient. You're probably thinking, well, where can I get that from? Strawberries, cucumbers, onions. Where else was it, Rick? There's a couple others that are...
Apples with the skin. Yeah.
Apples with the skin. That's it. So, you know, you can get it naturally from food as well, which is always our preferred option because our body knows what to do with food. It's a far more bioavailable form of getting any of the nutritionals that we require. Now, the last pathway, so we spoke about the sirtuin pathway, we want to upregulate that. We spoke about the MTOR pathway, we want to downregulate that, we want to dampen it. But there's one more pathway, and that's the AMPK pathway, which is the activated protein kinase activity. It helps to improve blood sugar metabolism, increases metabolism, burns fat, and promotes Rick's favorite thing, autophagy. So it's really important that we upregulate AMPK. And the supplements, there's no surprises. There's no surprises here because we've said them before. So it's quercetin. That helps to increase AMPK pathway, as does green tea, curcumin, lipoic acid, and resveratrol and NAD. So you can see that there's a common theme. It's not just one thing is going to do or one supplement is going to work on one pathway. Believe it or not, if you take three things that we've spoken about. And let's say there were three key things that someone would take. I would suggest, I don't know about you, Rick, but this is my top three. I'd say NR or NMN, resveratrol, and either quercetin or fasitin in that space. Yeah, or even berberine if you've got some sugar imbalances.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, you don't need to do the whole gamut of them. You can, choose the ones that resonate. But yeah, they're the ones where the research is pretty exciting, and there's a lot of crossover into the different downregulation biogenesis that we're trying to achieve that we've talked about in the podcast today. I did find actually on Vicky's recommendation a product by Hydro Longevity, which is called Healthy Aging. I like it because it's got a lot of the ingredients that we talked about today and some others. And the reason it's so good for me is that it's just a couple of scoops a day. And that saves me a lot of different tablets and pills and potions. And I must say as well, doing the research for these three podcasts that we thought was only going to be one because we thought we were just going to start off on a simple spring cleanse, but we delve deeper and deeper, is the power of those botanicals, the gotcha cola, the astragalus, the mushrooms in this space. Those tinctures, I think we ought not underestimate the bioavailability of them, but also the array of wonderful phytonutrients that we find even in just one single tincture, let alone when you go to see a practitioner and you get a specialized formula made up for your specialized aging well formula.
That's true. And I thought, so that's what Rick takes. I'll tell you what I take, and mine is a little bit more shocking. I remember I took a photo of the supplements that I consume, and I sent it to a friend of mine. And they were like, oh my gosh, how much stuff do you take? And I go, yes, but it's not like I take all of this every day. There's probably, you know, in my top five that I take, and then the others are sort of like dibble and dabble with every now and then. You know, it depends how I feel, which also brings me to an important point. You know, if you do decide to go down the whole pathway sort of structure and what you can take and what you want to upregulate and downregulate, I really do suggest consulting with a professional, because if you're on any medication or if you just need some guidance, it's really important to make sure you get that professional help. But what I take is I take a mixture of retail and Preki products, and I take nicotinamide riboside. Why do I take that and not NMN? That's a good question. NMN wasn't available at the time, so that's why I went with nicotinamide riboside. And it is a smaller molecule, so it can pass through the cell wall. And I take TMG, which is a trimethylglycine. I take TMG because I did a genetic test and I do have like a reduced methylation capacity. So I've got that genetic predisposition to not having proper methylation. And also take resveratrol as a simple liquid by Optimal RX. And I take my anti-aging formula, which is what Rick spoke about. So I've got gotcha cola, green tea, withania, ginseng, but I also take vitamin D and vitamin K. And then the other things are like, for example, my vitamin Bs and my fascitin and quercetin. So it's, you know, that's sort of I dabble in and out of. But like I said, always best to get professional advice.
Yeah, and I think I wanted to mention earlier, but just quickly at the end here, shouldn't forget the power of sulforaphane in this space for cellular health and for other preventative measures throughout the body. And I don't know whether I did, but I might have mentioned the medicinal mushrooms as well. They're certainly a whole load of those that are very interesting in this whole space. Suppose just to end on, I also take some sort of super green powder or tablets every day, because I think that's really important. So some days I might do spirulina, or I might do the chlorella, or I might do capsules that have got barley grass and wheatgrass in them, together with the algal oil, just to dampen down some of the inflammation and that sort of thing as well.
So last month we did a podcast on telomeres specifically, and we did have some questions from some listeners, and they were asking, and cellular senescence, and they were asking in particular what supplements they could take to help delay telomere shortening and to help promote cellular senescence cleanup. And I was wondering if you could take us through some of those supplements.
Yeah, and the good news about these are they're a lot that you'll be familiar with, a lot in the immune space, a lot in, you know, to prevent oxidative stress, you know, with antioxidants, et cetera. But I'm going to start off with the easy ones and the ones that people are most familiar with. And the ones that help with telomere health and length are magnesium, your B group vitamins, digestive enzymes, vitamin E, green tea, cinnamon, and vitamin D. Now, vitamin D, we know, also crosses over into the anxiety, depression treatment area. So it's a nice one to take if you're feeling a little bit down, especially in the winter months. Looking at the botanicals, gotcha cola was out there streets ahead of most of the others. And then following up with astragalus for telomere health. Going back to the omega-3 fatty acids, whether you want to do it with fish oil or algal oil, those omega-3 fatty acids really do help with a telomere lengthening, and they may help with the overall health of the telomere. And then finishing, also add in there your vitamin C. You want the antioxidant action to protect from oxidative stress and to preserve the telomeres, and eventually, this is a big call, slow down the aging process, because if we want to, that's what this is all about. It's about aging well and setting your body up to be able to fight off the inevitable, but to do it in such a way that, you know, you've got more energy, you have less malaise, you're less fatigued, your sleep is better, your stress is a little bit better. So I think this whole area of cellular health is going to continue to explode even more, like we're seeing with AI. I think we're just at the beginning of it. We're at a very interesting phase. You know, in the 90s when, and the early 2000s when resveratrol first happened, it's sort of taken a while. It took a while longer to reach the level that it has in terms of global interest, I think. I thought it would be faster. But I think we're gonna see a big explosion. And I think off the back of the things that Vicky was talking about, the NAD, the NR, et cetera, are sort of they're spearheading all the research. So now companies are really looking more into it. And I think that we're going to be the winners of it because we're going to find out more how to keep these cells healthy and learn stuff like how many mitochondria there really are, because I was with Vicky and didn't think there were that many. So that's really funny, isn't it? Either we're both asleep in the lectures or we just, you know.
No, I just read by the textbook. The textbook says mitochondria.
Yeah, but there's a picture of one. Yeah.
Oh, dear. Thanks so much for listening. I hope that helps to answer some of the questions that you have around longevity. And if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to visit our YouTube channel and put in some of the questions that you have at the bottom in the comments section. Next month, we're talking about the trends that we've seen this year in the health space and what to look out for in the coming year.
So we hope you enjoyed this one as much as we have, and we look forward to your company next month when we look at those trends.